The sixth parak focuses on the use of a shaliach as it relates to the prohibition of me'ilah. So just on a high level, we're going to talk about somebody who is he's the principal, and he instructs his shaliach, his agent, B, to do an action for him. And on a high level, we typically say shlucho shel adam kamoso. If B fulfills the instructions of A, it's as if that act was done by A. So even though it's via the agent B, it's as if A did the action. Shlucho shel adam kamoso. Having said that, we also have a concept that ein shaliach ledvar aveira. If the instruction from A to B is to do something that is an aveira, that we will not ascribe back to A. B is going to take responsibility. B as the agent did the aveira, and we aren't going to say that A is the responsible party. That is the case typically. However, when it comes to me'ilah, we have a limud that it's an exception. And although we typically say ein shaliach ledvar aveira, and that A is not going to be responsible, B did the action, and B did the aveira, B is responsible. But when it comes to A, when it comes to me'ilah, as long as B fulfills the instructions of A, we're going to still revert to the rule of shlucho shel adam kamoso. It's going to be as if A did the act, even though his shaliach did, and even though the shaliach did an aveira, we're not going to apply that second clause, the second phrase, ein shaliach ledvar aveira. We are going to say there is a shaliach ledvar aveira, and that means that A is going to be held responsible, but that's on the condition that B strictly followed the instructions of A, then A is going to be responsible for the me'ilah. But if B does not follow the instructions, B is going to be the one who is responsible for me'ilah. That's what we're going to see evidenced in our first Mishnah Aleph, HaShaliach Sha'asa Shlichus, so the Shaliach B, that fulfilled his Shlichus, he followed the instructions of A. If that's the case, because it's me'ilah Bal Habayis Ma'al, it's going to be A who will violate the prohibition of me'ilah. We do not say Ein Shaliach L'Dvar Aveira when it comes to me'ilah. There is a Shaliach, we say Shlucho Shel Adam Kamoso, it's as if A did the act himself. Lo asa shlichus, so however, if B does not do a shlichus, in other words, he doesn't follow the instructions of A strictly, hashaliach mal, it's going to be B that is going to be having violated the isra of me'ilah. Now we're going to give four different clauses, four different halachas. The Mishnah asks, ketzad, let's illustrate this through different scenarios. Amar lo, if A says to B, ten basal orachim, give meat to orachim, and it happens to be that meat is hektesh. Again, when we talk about me'ilah, it's all b'shogig, it's all by mistake, not b'mezid. So A thought that he was instructing B to give regular meat, and he instructed him to give meat, and it happened to be hektesh meat to his guests. And B instead, v'nasalem kaved, B gave them instead liver, not the meat as requested. And again, this liver was hektesh, that B did not know about it, the shaliach did not know about it. Again, it's a shogeg. Kaved, v'nasalem baso, or the reverse, that A instructed him to give liver and he gave meat. So the shaliach in both of these situations, he was told to give one thing and he switched it. In the first, he was told to give meat, he gave liver. The second time he was instructed to give liver and he gave meat. So here he's not following his instructions. Because of that, we're going to say HaShaliach Mal, B is going to be the responsible party. That is because we have the, as we said before, Ein Shaliach LeDvar Aveira is the typical, but when it comes to Me'ilah, we do say there is a Shaliach LeDvar Aveira, A is going to be held responsible unless B did not follow the instructions. Here, B did not follow instructions. Accordingly, B is going to be the responsible party. Next halacha, number two, Amar lo, A says to B, ten lahem chaticha chaticha, give each of them one piece of meat, unbeknownst to A, unbeknownst to B as well. That meat was hektesh, v'hu amar, and here B comes and says to each of them, take two pieces, tlu shtayim shtayim. The Gemara qualifies that he says, take one piece from the Baal HaBayis who instructed me from A, and I'm adding on one, an additional one to each of you. So that's what the shaliach said to them. So accordingly, let's start it again. Amar lo, A says to B, ten lahim chaticha chaticha, give each of the guests one chaticha, unbeknownst to him, it was hektesh, v'hu amar, and the shaliach B says, tlu shtayim shtayim, each of you can take two pieces, them not tlu shalosh shalosh, and each of them took three pieces, kula malu, each of them are going to be responsible for Me'ila, the number A, the Balabais, because he instructed B to give them each one, and B did follow suit. He gave them one piece because of the Balabais, and he's going to be responsible for B because he added on a piece for himself as well. So that's another Me'ila, and each of the guests took three pieces, so each of them is going to be responsible as well, all of them, A, B, and C. The guests are C, they're going to have an Isra of Me'ila. Third halacha in our Mishnah, Amar lo, A says to B, heavy li min achalam bing me, that piece of meat, unbeknownst to him, it was a piece of hekdesh from that cubby hole, Omin gluskama, or bring it from the box, the hevilo, and he brought it to him. Afal pisha amar balabais. Even though thereafter the balabais said, I made a mistake. Lo hayabu libi ala mizeh vehevi mizeh. I meant to tell him to bring it from the other place, and he brought it from this place. In other words, what's going on here is that the shaliach did follow the instructions. So the balabais said to him, bring it from the cubby. And he brought it from the cubby, but he afterwards said, oh, I meant that you should bring it from the box. Or he told him, bring it from the box. And he brought it from the box, but thereafterward, the Sholech A says, I meant for you to bring it from the cubby. But here, bottom line is that the B, the Shaliach, followed instructions. I really intended from him to bring it from the other place. Balabais Ma'al, because the Shaliach follow the instructions. We say dvarim shebelev einam dvarim. We disregard the internal mistake that the A made. The B, bottom line, is that Shaliach followed his instructions. He did what was requested. Accordingly, A has violated Me'ila. And last halachia of Alim Amarlo. However, if A said to the Shaliach, heveli minachalon, bring me from one place, bring me from the kabi hovevi lo migluskama, and he brought it from the box, or the reverse, o mina gluskama vevi lo mina chalon, bring me from the box, and he brought it from the chalon. So here we have B not following the instructions, he's bringing it from the wrong place, even though both of the items were hekdesh, but it doesn't matter, and unbeknownst to A, unbeknownst to B, it's a shogeg, but because B did not follow suit on the instructions, he did something other than instructed, accordingly, Hashliach Mal B is going to be the one who violates Me'ila. Mishnah Beis continues Shlichus when it comes to the prohibition of Me'ila, and we're going to have three parties here. We're going to have A, who is the Shaliach, the person sending his agent. B is going to be the agent, the Shaliach. That's the same as we saw in the prior Mishnah. And we're going to also have a C here, a Chenvani, who is going to be a shopkeeper, who will also be relevant in our scenarios. Mishnah Beis says as follows, Shalach, talking about A, and again, we're always talking about Bishogeg. He didn't know. He took money, and he didn't know that the money was Hekdesh, and A gives it to an agent, B. It happens to be that B doesn't have the mental capacity to be acting as an agent. So he sent it via Biat Cheresh, who is a deaf mute, a Shota, somebody who lacks mental capacity, Vikatan, and somebody who is underage, under the age of Bar Mitzvah. So those are not valid Shlichim. They're not a valid authorized agent to be used. Nonetheless, im asu shlichuso, if they did the act, they fulfilled the shlichas that they were supposed to do, Baal Habayis Mal, it will be the Baal Habayis that will have Me'ila. If you look in the Bar Tanura real quickly, that he sent it with the Chayr Shot of a Katan, they are not B'nai Shlichus, they are not valid, they're not authorized to be acting as agents. Afilu hachi hoel v'nasli shlichuso, because the shlichus was done, they fulfilled what they should have done, what they were supposed to be doing, they followed instructions. Accordingly, HaMishaleach Ma'al, A, is still going to be held guilty of Me'ila. But, Lo Asu Shlichus, so here's where it gets different. If they did not fulfill their Shlichus, so A cannot be held responsible. A told somebody to do a Shlichus, and they didn't do it, so A can't be held responsible. B, we're talking about a Cheir Shot of a Katan, and they don't have mental capacity. Accordingly, they're not going to be held responsible for the Me'ila. Accordingly, Hachen Vani Ma'al, it's going to be C, the storekeeper that they were sent to purchase something from with that hektish money. As soon as that Chen Vani uses that money that he received for his own personal uses, for example, if he buys more inventory, more products for his store with that money, he is going to be violating Me'ila. Again, Me'ila is a shogeg. When somebody does it, not knowing, it's not bemazed, and accordingly, that will be the chenvani who will be held responsible, who will violate Me'ila. Next scenario, shalach biad pikeach. If A sends the money, and we're talking again about hekdesh money, b'shogeg, A didn't know that it was hekdesh money, forgot it was b'shogeg, and he sent it with B, and B is a bikeach, that is somebody who does have mental capacity, that is going to be very relevant. It's a normal individual, a normal adult. V'nizkar ad shelo higia etzel chemvani, and A remembered before B got to C to make the purchase. What did A remember? He remembered, this is money, the money that I sent that I forgot. I didn't know that it was hekdesh. He remembered now that it is hekdesh. And accordingly, A cannot be held, will not be violating me'ila. Me'ila is when you are shogeg, both at the beginning and at the end, and he is no longer b'shogeg. Effectively, it's really worse now. He's amazed that he remembered that it is hekdesh money that he sent with B. V'niz karat shelo higia ezel chenvani, and he remembered before it got to C. If he remembered after it got to C, then he already did me'ila. But before it got to C, he remembered hachenvani ma'al kishiyotzi. It is going to be the chenvani C, again, who is going to be violating me'ila when he uses the coins that he received for his personal benefit. In fact, the Gemara qualifies this and says A is not responsible because he remembered, and accordingly he's no longer a shogeg. B is the situation, he also remembered. He also found out that it was not, that it was hekdesh money. Accordingly, he also is not shogeg. Otherwise, we would say that B is responsible. B is going to be held liable for me'ila, but because he remembered as well, he is no longer a shogeg, and accordingly he is not violating the shogeg me'ila. The concept of me'ila again is only when you're shogeg. And accordingly, C is the only one that is shogeg. He received the money and didn't know, he was innocent, and he used it for his personal good. That is going to be me'ila. So C is going to be the responsible party for me'ila. The others are worse off because they effectively, they were b'mezid. And ketzad yasa. Now this ketzad yasa is, how do we fix the situation? There are two ways to read the balance of this Mishnah. It can be either A, now that he remembered, but before that money got to C, A remembered that it was hekdesh money. So how can he fix the situation so C will not violate me'ila? That's one way to read it. Or we can be talking about C, who is the storekeeper selling the goods, and it's after the fact. He has that money, he received it, he violates me'ila, and he put it into his cash register, and now he has that hekdesh coin, that hekdesh pruta coin mixed in with all of his other money. How can he fix the money here such that he can use it? Otherwise, we have a problem because there's hekdesh mixed in with the rest of his coin. So ketzad yasa, what can either A or C do? No tel pruta, what he can do is take a chulin pruta, non-hekdesh pruta, or keli, or he can take a vessel, v'yomar, and he can say as follows, pruta shel hekdesh b'chomakom shi, wherever that pruta is of hekdesh. So that is talking about A is saying it before it gets to C. If A finds out that it is hekdesh that he sent with B, so he can say that, he can redeem it effectively. Or we're talking about C, when that hekdesh, he found out that he has a hekdesh coin in his cash register, he says, I'm taking an independent pruta that is not hekdesh, and wherever that hekdesh one is, pruta shel hekdesh b'chol makom shi, wherever that hekdesh coin is, mechulel es alzo, it is going to be transferred, that Kedusha is going to be transferred onto this chulin coin that I have. So what's going to happen is that the Kedusha of that coin, that pruta, whichever it is going to be transferred onto the coin that either A or C is holding. Shehekdesh nifta bekesu v'sha bekesu, because you can redeem something that is hekdesh. We're not talking about that pruta coin. It could be redeemed either with money or with something that has value, a personal item that has value, and that is a way to remove the sanctity. So what's going to be happening here, if it's A that remembered that he sent a hekdesh coin to C, he is going to be transferring the kedusha from the coin that C will be receiving onto the coin that A has in his hand, and he's going to treat the one that he has in his hand as hekdesh. Or if it's C that we're dealing with, that C has to deal with his cash register, he is going to be redeeming the hekdesh coin that's mixed in with the others, and the kedusha is going to go to the chulin coin that he has in his hand, and that he's going to have to treat as hekdesh. Mishnah Gimel is going to follow with our scenario that we have A giving his shaliach B a coin, and he made a mistake. It's a shogeg. He forgot that it was hekdesh, and in this situation, nasan la pruta, he gave that pruta A to B, And now A instructs B as follows: Amar lo heve li bechetzia neiros uvechetzia pisilo. So it's only a pruta coin, and as we've discussed in the past, in order to violate the prohibition of meila, we're talking about benefiting or removing from the jurisdiction of Hekdesh a full pruta. So he gives him a pruta, not more, not less, and A says to B, with this pruta, I want you to divide it in two. With half of it, I want you to buy me neiros, which are candles, or bechetzi, psilos, and the other half, wicks. So those are the instructions from A to B, and he gives B that coin, and unbeknownst to A or B, it is a hektesh coin. Halach. So B goes as a shaliach. The hevi lo bekula neiros or bekula psilos. He did not follow instructions, and instead of using half for neiros and half for psilos, that is half for candles and half for wicks, he used the entire pruta for neiros, or the entire pruta for psilos. So what we have here is that the shaliach B is following the instructions in part and not following the instructions in part. For the first half, he's buying half of what was required. The A wanted either half of neiros or half of psilos, and he's buying half of it, but he's adding on. Instead of having half, he's buying the full amount. So for effectively what we have is we have A violating Mi'ila in part for half a pruta, and we have B who not following his instructions for the other half. He is involved in Mi'ila for the second half of a half a pruta. Or alternatively, Osha Amalo A says to be Heveli Bekulo Neiros. Take this pruta, unbeknownst to both of them, it is a hektish pruta, and he says as follows, A says to B, buy with me with this pruta neiros, all of it. Spend whatever you can buy on candles, or bekula psilos, or buy as many psilos as you can. Halach vehevi lo bechetzia neiros bechetzia psilos. And instead of following those instructions of buying with all of it, one item, he bought half. So you spent half on neiros and half on psilos. Again, he's partially following the instructions because he's buying part of what was requested, but not the other part. Shnehem no ma'alo, in both of the instances, neither of them will violate mi'ila because there is not a full pruta that is being used incorrectly. So because only each of them is bearing a half a pruta and half a pruta, neither of them are going to be held responsible for Me'ila because neither of them are using a full pruta in an inappropriate way. Aval imamarlo, however, if A says to be haveli b'chetzia neiros mima kamploni, or b'chetzia psilos mima kamploni, if A instructs B, go and buy with half of this pruta, use half of the pruta to buy the candles in place A, and take the other half of it and buy wicks in place B. And here, shaliach B switches. He doesn't follow the instructions at all. The halach vehevi lo neiros mi beis psilos, psilos mi beis neiros. He bought the candles, but instead of from place A, he bought all of the candles from place B. And instead of buying the psilos from place B, he bought them from place A. So none of the instructions are being followed, and accordingly, we have B doing the, he hasn't followed any of the instructions, so B is going to be fully responsible for using that entire pruta for the wrong purposes. Accordingly, HaShaliach Mal is going to be B that violates Mi'ila. Mishnah Dalet continues our discussion of when A, who is the Shaliach, he appoints somebody, B, who is the Shaliach, his agent, for various activities, and when is A going to be violating Mi'ila, when is B, or maybe both of them. And we've said on a high level that there are two principles. Principle number one is Shlucho Shaladam Kamoso, that when somebody appoints a Shaliach, A appoints B, and B does an activity, it's as if A did that action. For example, if A says to B, go and be Mekadesh, a woman, betroth the woman, that is effective, and it's as if A did that, and A becomes betrothed to the woman, even though that action was done via B, his shaliach. However, having said that, we also have a second principle that says when B is doing an aveira, ein shaliach ledvar aveira, and B, in fact, is going to be held responsible for the aveira that he does, even though it was instructed by A, but B as the representative, he is actually going to be held responsible, and not A, because he did an Aveira. So we have two clauses. Clause number one, concept shlucha shel adam kamoso, but that does not apply when B is doing an Aveira. B is going to be the responsible party, not A. Having said that, we have a third concept of when it comes to Me'ila, it is an exception to the rule. And basically, we're going to revert back to the first concept that shlucho shel adam kamoso, when A instructs B, and B is doing the Aveira of Me'ila, it's going to be as if A did the Me'ila himself. That is the case when B follows the instructions of A, but if B doesn't follow the instructions, then B is going to be held responsible. We're going to have in Mishnah Dalet is that B follows the instructions of A in part, but doesn't follow the instructions of A in part, and there's going to be, according to one of the shitas, a Me'ila on both of them. So Mishnah Dalet says as follows, Nasan lo shtei prutos, A, the sholeach gives to B, the shaliach, the agent, two prutos, and he says as follows, Amar lo, A says to B, have li esrog, please go buy for me an esrog with the two, so I'm giving you two prutos, I'd like an esrog with the value of two prutos, so go buy a nice esrog for me, v'halach, and B goes, v'hevi lo bepruta, esrog bepruta mrimon, instead of following instructions per the T, what he did was, he used one of the prutos to buy an esrog, and the second one he used to buy a rimon, a pomegranate. And says the Mishnah, Shnei Ma'alu, each of them are responsible for Me'ila and the rationale. And we'll revise this in a little bit based on the Gemara. But the pashas of the Mishnah is that A is responsible because, in fact, B did follow up on his instructions and did buy an esrog. So with one of the prutas, he bought an esrog. That was per the instruction of A. Accordingly, A has a problem of Me'ila, has violated Me'ila. And B, he did not follow the instructions in part because he took one of the prutas and he bought a rimon, a pomegranate. And accordingly, because of the pomegranate, B is violating the prohibition of Me'ila. So they're each violating the prohibition of Me'ila. Rabbi Yehuda Omeri disagrees. Baal HaBayis lo ma'al. The Baal HaBayis A is not responsible. There's no Me'ila there. Shu Omer lo, because A can simply say to B, you didn't follow my instructions at all. Esrog gadol ha'isi mevakesh, I wanted you to buy me a big esrog, ve'vesi li katan vera, and you bought me a small one and a bad one. What's going on here? So the Gemara explains as follows, that in fact, we are talking about a situation that B did follow the instructions of A, in that he took one of those prutas and he was successful in buying an esrog that had the value of two prutas. So effectively, he's following the instructions of A with one of the prutas because he got an esrog of two prutas value, and with the second pruta, he brought a rimon. So accordingly, according to Chachamim, they're both Ma'al, they both have Me'ila because A got an esrog as per his instructions that had the value of two prutas, even though it only costs one pruta, and B is Ma'al because he used one of the prutas for the rimon. And on the other hand, we have Rabbi Yehuda who's saying as follows, there were no instructions that was followed. B did not follow A's instructions whatsoever because A can simply say to B, very nice that you were successful in buying a two pruta value esrog for one pruta, but what I was getting at is spend all the money and buy me the best esrog that you could. And if you were successful in buying a value two pruta for one pruta, had you spent the two prutas that I requested, you would have been able to get me an even better esrog, a four pruta value esrog. And accordingly, what Rabbi Yehuda is saying is that the B shaliach did not follow the instructions at all, and accordingly, it would only be B that would be chayev in Me'ila. Certainly, it would not be A at all that would be chayev in Me'ila. Next situation is basically the same as the seifa. Nasan lo dinar zahav. A gives to B a dinar zahav, a gold dinar, a very expensive coin. Amar lo, and he says to him as follows, Haveli chalok, go buy me an expensive cloak, a piece of clothing. And again, we're talking about a situation when we are using money that is hekdesh. So in both of the situations, the reisha and the seifa, but it was a shogeg. When we're talking about me'ila, we're talking about a shogeg, A or B. Neither of them knew that it was hekdesh money. So here again, we have it. Nasan lo dinar zav. He gives them, by mistake, a dinar of zahav. Amar lo, and A says to B, haveli chalok, buy me an expensive piece of clothing, a cloak. V'halach, and B goes, v'hevi lo b'shlosha chalok or b'shlosha talis. Basically, without getting into the currency exchanges on a high level, he took half of the money
and he bought a chalok, and with half of the money, he bought a talis. So he followed in part and didn't follow in part. This is the sheet of Chachamim, Shnei Malu. There's a Mi'ila for both of them. That is just what we saw in the Reisha. And Rabbi Yehuda again disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Baal HaBayis Lomal, there's no Mi'ila for the Baal HaBayis. Shu Omer Lo, because he can say, to be Chalok Gadol Hayisi Mevakesh, what I wanted you to do was to buy a larger Chalok, a nicer one, Vaveti Likata Vera, and you bought me a smaller one and a bad one. And again, what's going on here, as we explained in the Reisha, same in the Seifa that he gave him in Dinar Zahav, and the Shaliach B was successful in buying a Chalok, that piece of clothing, but he bought it not for half the price. He spent half the price, but the Chalok, what he did was he got the value of the full Dinar Zahav. And that's the discussion here with the Chachamim saying that you fulfilled the instructions in part because indeed you did buy an asset, a chaluk that was valued at the full dinar zahav, and accordingly, A has mi'ila, but B also has mi'ila because he took half the money and instead he bought another item, he bought a talis. And Rabbi Yehuda is saying, in fact, A can say to B, my instruction was to spend the full amount of the money, and if you were successful in buying a chaluk that had the value of the full dinar zahav with half of the money, you could have spent all the money and got something so much more nicer and significant, and accordingly, you did not follow my instructions at all, and accordingly, there's no mi'ila for A. Mishnah Hay discusses if A deposits money with B, and B uses the money, who is going to violate the prohibition of mi'ila? And we're actually going to divide up the Mishnah into three different Bs, three different people who the money is deposited with, and it's going to depend accordingly who the B is. We're going to start off with B as a money changer, and a money changer is the expectation is he's going to use the money. That's going to be the default. He always needs money. Next, we're going to talk about A, the depositor who gives money to another Baal HaBayis, to another individual, not somebody in business, a professional, not a money changer and the like. So that's going to be number two. And halacha number three is when B entrusts a chenvani, which is a storekeeper. He's not a money changer, but a storekeeper. How are we going to treat that? So the Mishnah says as follows, Hamafkid ma'os eitzel ha-shulchani. A deposits money with the shulchani. A shulchani is a money changer. It's called a shulchani because he has a shulchani, he has a table, and that's all he does is he changes money on the table with people who come to him. Accordingly, the default is that that individual, the money changer, is going to be able to use that money, but that is not going to be the case im tsrurin. If A gives B, the money changer, the money when it is tied up and sealed, or alternatively, it means with an unusual tie on it, that's brought by the Gemara, the Bar Tanur brings it as well. In other words, this is a sign to the money changer, don't use it. The default would be if it's just in a regular bag, even if it's tied, the money changer could use it, but if it has an unusual knot on it, or if it's sealed, and if it's knotted and sealed, then the money changer would not be permitted to use it. Lo yishtamesh ben, he shouldn't be using them. Lefichach, accordingly, if B, the money changer, did use it, lefichach im hotzi, and he didn't have permission to ma'al, that would be B, who would be over the iser of mi'ila im mutarim. On the other hand, if it's given to B when they are not sealed together, tied and sealed, or with an unusual knot, literally mutarim means that they are loose change given to him, or in a way that the expectation would be that the money changer would be using it. He has permission to use it. Yishtamesh ben, then he's permitted to use the coins. Lefichach im hotzi, accordingly, if he did use it, unbeknownst to him that it was money that was owned by Hekdesh, had Hekdesh status, lo ma'al, he would not be violating mi'ila, because effectively he's the shaliach, he is the agent of A. Now it happens to be a machlokes whether A in this situation is violating Me'ila. Certainly it's not B according to the Mishnah, but is it A going to be violating Me'ila or not? According to the Bar Tanura, there would not be a Me'ila on A either, but that is subject to a machlokes of the Rishonim. Continuing in our Mishnah situation, halacha number two, the A here gave the money, Eitzel Baal HaBayis, gave it to a householder. He's not somebody who's in business, and the expectation here is that the Baal HaBayis is simply going to hold the money on behalf of A. Bein kach u'bein kach, whether A gave B, the Baal HaBayis, the money tied up, sealed in a bag with an unusual knot on it, or That's Bein Kach, that's one hand. Or Bein Kach, the other hand is he gave it to him loose. Either way, Lo Yishtamesh Behem, the B, here the Baal HaBayis should not be using it. There's not an expectation that he will use it, but rather he will hold on to it on behalf of A. Lifichach Im Hotzi, accordingly, if B, the householder, did use that money, that would be without permission, Ma'al, he is not acting as A's agent in any way, and accordingly, B is violating the prohibition of Me'ila. And halacha number three, when it comes to a chenvani, this is a storekeeper, so we have a machlokes, do we treat a storekeeper like a Baal HaBayis, that's the second halacha, or do we treat him like a shulchani, the first halacha, like a money changer? Ha chenvani ke Baal HaBayis, tivi Rabbi Meir, the chenvani is going to be treated like the Baal HaBayis. In other words, the default is he cannot use the money, whether he's given the money tied up or not, even if it's loose, he cannot use the money. Accordingly, if he does use the money, we're going to treat him like the Baal HaBayis, and he is violating Me'ila. It's B that's violating Me'ila. That's the sheet of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Keshulchani, we treat him like a Shulchani, and that means that if the money is loose, he can use it. If it's tied up in an unusual way, he cannot use it, but if it's loose, he can use it, and accordingly, it would be A, the owner of that money, that would be Ma'al, indeed in the situation that he entrusted with him money that is owned by Hekdesh. Mishnah Vav talks about when we have a mixture of Hekdesh, actually one Hekdesh coin, and non-Hekdesh, just regular coins, what happens in that situation. It's going to be a specific scenario as follows. Pluta shel Hekdesh, shenafla l'soch hakis. Somebody has in his pocket or his purse, his wallet, a bunch of coins that are not Hekdesh, and one Hekdesh coin falls in. And now he has a mixture and he doesn't know which is which. Or Shamor, he says as follows, Pruta b'kis shehekdesh. He says, one of the Prutas in this kis, in this wallet, in my pocket, are Hekdesh. One of them is Hekdesh, so now we have a mixture either way. It fell in, or he designated one as Hekdesh. Kevin shehotzi et harishona, Ma'al divi Rabbi Akiva. As soon as he uses the first pruta, because it's a suffake, each of the prutas there is a suffake, is that the Hekdesh one or not? As soon as he uses the first one, says Rabbi Akiva, that is violating Me'ilah. In fact, the person is going to have to bring not a korban that he's definitively violated Me'ilah, but he's going to have to bring an asham taloi. An asham taloi is brought for certain avodas when you have a suffolk, when you have a question, did I violate or did I not? Rabbi Kiva is of the view that you bring a asham taloi even on the first pruta because it's a suffolk. It's a possibility that the person violated Me'ilah. Chachamim or Min, they disagree. Achiyotzi, Eskolakis, you do not have a concept of bringing an Asham Taloi when you have a Suffolk Me'ilah. That is not the case. It's only when you certainly have a Me'ilah. Accordingly, there's going to be no Me'ilah, no Korban required on all the Prutas, even though each of them is a Suffolk, until the last one. When you get to the last one and you use that one, then certainly the person violated the prohibition of Me'ilah. That is the Shita of Chachamim. Having said that, there's a situation that Rabbi Akiva will agree with the Chachamim, and it's going to be when he uses different language in saying that the Pruta, that one of the Prutas he is designating as Hekdesh, and the language, as we'll see shortly, the implication is that only the last one, only when he uses the last one is there going to be a Hekdesh, a Me'ilah problem. So Modi Rabbi Akiva Bama, Rabbi Akiva agrees with Chachamim that only when you get to the last one and use the last one is there going to be a Me'ilah Isser. The Omer, if he says as follows, Pruta Minakis ze Hekdesh, which he is saying that it's the last Pruta that he removes from his wallet or his purse or his pocket, that shall be Hekdesh. It's going to be that one that's going to be Hekdesh, which means it's only the last Pruta remaining after he uses all of the rest. That is going to be the one that is Hekdesh. Accordingly, Shehu Motzi V'Holech Ad Shiyotzi Esekolakis, that he's permitted to use all of them until the last one. But on the last one that he uses, the last one that's left, that is when there is going to be a violation of the prohibition of Me'ilah.